This is Wade Rathke, and you're listening to Wade's World, a Voice of the People program. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World. Whether that's the east side of Little Rock, Greenville, or New Orleans, or on Acorn Radio in Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay. Points north and south, east and west, where we are either rebroadcast or live streamed at kabf.org and acornradio.org. A podcast will be available, this show, on these websites and www.affiliatedmediamovement.org. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world. And today, we're in Kampala, Uganda, and we're talking to two of my brothers who have been active in radio one way or another for years. Ricky and Kenneth, introduce yourself to the audience.
Hello, my name is Ricky from Kampala, Uganda.
And my name is Kenneth.
Okay.
Kampala, Uganda.
From Kampala, and you're actually not from Kampala, you're from the northwestern part of the country, yeah?
Yeah, sure.
Arua or something?
West Nile.
West Nile?
Arua district, yeah.
For those of you who've never known anything about the Nile other than Egypt, it comes all the way down to Uganda, to Lake Victoria, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where the source is. But we've been talking about, between Kenny and Ricky and I for the last couple of days, is what it would be like to have community radio here in Uganda. Now, there have been various, you've been trying to get stations together for a decade, haven't you, Ricky?
Hey.
Why don't you tell the listeners what that climbing that mountain has been like? Because it's been a hard road so far.
It's not been easy. I started this passion in 2011, and I tried to reach out to a lot of agencies who are involved in the international media system. I tried because I see there's a very huge gap, information gap. There are media here, but most of them are too commercial. And I wanted to bring in a radio that meets the audience need and that can mainstream what is important to the community. Say the plight, when there's lack of water, can bring the community up. We speak about it and make the authority to be, to make them concerned that this is.
So there's a need, it's just a matter of what it takes to get a station on the air. Although there are church stations here, and the government has some stations, don't they?
Quite a number of them.
How does that work? Are those public stations like we have in the U.S., National Public Radio or British Broadcasting Corporation, or what are those stations like that the government owns?
Mostly, it's just, I should say that they do more like a commercial broadcast. It's the same approach.
So if you didn't know, if you were like me and just happened to hear a station, you wouldn't necessarily know that was a government-owned
station. You would not at all.
But it might be the same kind of Afro-pop or whatever that I might hear.
Definitely.
And that's another thing that's unique about radio here. There's no such thing really as non-commercial radio, is there?
Not really.
There's none. Even Christian players, they do the same thing. They play secular music. They do preaching on Sundays. Commercial stations even do the same thing. Government-owned stations, they play advertisement. So it is difficult to differentiate. That's why my
Catholic Church has a number of stations, I think you told me.
Yes.
They have 8 radio stations across Uganda.
And they sell commercials as well.
They sell commercials.
See, the reason why this is so interesting to the audience where you're listening to it terrestrially right now is the whole attraction of non-commercial radio is people are so tired of all the commercials on commercial radio. So here we're talking about essentially building community non-commercial stations that can sell ads in Uganda. It's like, Uganda, what a country. So the listeners don't even understand. We're talking a foreign language. It sounds like English. English, but they know we're not really talking English anymore. So they all sell advertising. I guess that makes them more profitable.
Sure.
Yeah. But is it, Ricky, what you've been telling me, and that's part of how I came to Uganda for the first time, technically it's not that hard to get a license here. It's not like we have in the U.S. where sometimes you can wait 10 years or more for licenses to broadcast frequency to open up. Here, if you can find a frequency, you can apply at any time.
Yeah, it's very easy, especially from where I come from. We have a few radio stations, and it's a matter of moving to the Uganda Communications Commission. You pick an application form, and from there you fill it, you return it, and you are likely to get a green light on it within 60 days. It's very easy, but it's a little bit difficult in Kampala because there's congestion in Kampala.
We were amazed yesterday when we counted. I counted something like 54, 55 stations.
True.
Today we talked to an engineer on the phone. I said, "Well, how many stations are in Kampala?" He said, "I think 200.
Yeah.
I said, "Well, we looked at the list. It was only 54. He said they've shut down a lot of stations. That was
Some stations have also been knocked out of business due to the competition.
Yeah. Okay, well that may be partly what's happened. Yeah, that may be, now that's an interesting point you're making, Kenneth, because those frequencies we know have had engineering that established that they were available.
Yes.
No one has come in to take those frequencies. You know, that power level is available.
Sure.
That's research. I mean, we may have to stop the interview show and turn on the internet and do research immediately. So we'll apologize if all of a sudden there's a break in this show. No, I'm joking. We're not going to break. We're going to do the show, and then when it's over, we'll go down there. We'll find the Wi-Fi code and look that up, because that's very interesting. Until we had this show, I wasn't sure what I thought he was just talking to me, you know. But that's very possible that there have been that many licenses that have been issued and some people went out of business. So yesterday, we're talking today to Kenneth and Ricky in Kampala, Uganda, about the radio scene here for community radio. Kenneth, I ask you, what, as a long time Kampala resident over the last, 10, 15 years?
Yes, about 15 years now.
Yeah.
Yes.
What stations you listen to, and of this 54 possible stations, you were telling me your favorites.
Yes, my favorite is KFM, that is 93.3 KFM. It's my favorite, but of course I listen to some other stations as well. There is Capital, there is Sanyu FM, there is Radio One, there is Power FM. Yes.
You like the first station because of the regular
news? Yes, the regular news updates.
Is that unusual for radio stations to have those kind of updates?
Sometimes it's not really unusual, but the quality of the news itself, sometimes
we have a big expression now in the U.S., thanks to our well-known president, about fake news. So are you telling me some of the other stations might have a little more fake news?
You never know.
You never know?
Maybe to supplement on that.
They supplement the facts.
Yeah. There's always a source you trust. And if you hear anything somewhere, you need to first confirm from that source. If you don't hear from them, you won't trust that news.
But this can be a difficult climate for radio stations on those issues with the government, can't it be? I think we were reading recently about a station taken off the air in, what was the town, Lira?
Lira town.
Yeah. What happened there, from what we can tell?
Okay, Lira is far from my district, and from right now I don't have a very clear information, but the news was that it's alleged that two Indians killed a boy in that sub-region. It's called Lango sub-region. And the station, of course, that station is the most listed to station in the region. And the station was running the news about that. People were calling, giving their opinions. Of course, the community was was bitter by the fact that the two Indians killed a boy, and the authority decided the security personnel raided the radio, closed.
And they alleged the station was trying to stir people up?
Yeah, that they are inciting people against the Haitians.
The foreigners.
Yeah.
And is that unusual, or is that something that happens with some regularity?
It's not so unusual.
Taken off the air.
Stations have been closed off several times. I still remember in the year 2009, the Uganda Kingdom Radio, that is CBS FM, was shut down for quite some time due to issues between the kingdom and government. Those who remember the 2009 riot. Wasn't a good thing, so the station was shut down. Many other stations were shut down, both prominent and even those that are not prominent. It's not a strange thing here. It can happen anytime.
Do they usually get back on the air, or do they just disappear?
They get back on the air after multiple negotiations with government.
And so they get back on the air when they learn their lessons.
When
so
they learn their lessons the hard way.
Yeah, the hard way, because sure. There's no income coming in while they're off the air.
And yet you need to pay your bills at some point.
Ricky and I talked about this before you got here. Paying your bills is a problem out there.
It is.
And I think, Ricky, you told me up in your region, a station that was once off the air because they had an interview with hawkers or something.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't remember that correctly, but I think that was...
I was just building on that issue between the community and the Indians. It's still unclear right now whether they did it.
Oh, you're talking about the Lyra station?
Yeah.
I thought there was an incident in your own community where a station got... station manager was fired or put in jail or something for some story that they interviewed... hawkers. I may have just made this up, but that's why I'm here, getting the real news, not the fake news.
Yeah, sure.
But regardless, the point is that can be chilling to the voices on a radio if you're managing a station. That's one of the questions we've been facing as the three of us have talked about what it would be like to have a station in Uganda is... In some ways, the government doesn't have to do anything if you're always looking over your shoulder, afraid the government might do something. That is what we call a chilling of your rights.
That's true.
You're repressing your own speech because you're not sure the impact it would have. So is there a lot of that, you reckon, from your experience in radio, that people are... sort of biting their tongue because they're afraid of consequences?
Sure, that does happen, especially when it approaches election time. Lots of radio station managers and owners have to be very, very, very careful with the content that they do broadcast. But at some point, it could get you into trouble. So. That's what is happening on the ground. That happens.
But in general, the media landscape is still okay. There are so many radio stations.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So. I mean, we were also surprised at the number of... I mean, Kampala is not a small town. There's 1.5 million people who live here. But 50, 60 radio stations are still a lot in a market, even of 1.5 million people. And it turns out most of those stations are relatively small in terms of wattage. For those of you, like me until a couple of days ago, have never been to Kampala, Kenneth had a great line. Used to be called the city of seven hills, but now it's gotten bigger. It's the city of 10 hills. I told somebody that joke, Kenneth's joke this morning on the phone, trying to describe
Kampala.
I was describing my partner, and I was saying, when you land on the plane, Uganda's beautiful. I mean,
sure, it is.
Out of the
Entebbe Airport.
Out of the left, you're seeing all of a sudden you have these green hills, and then there's some blue water of Lake Victoria.
It's a lovely country to be.
You think, oh my goodness.
Yeah,
and my partner was saying, "Oh no, I knew you'd like Uganda. I was afraid you'd like Uganda." And I said, "Well, it's a beautiful country. When you first are driving in on the road from Entebbe, it's gorgeous. I mean, you're just, you know." So, anyway, a lot of the stations don't have huge power. Most of them were 1,000-watt stations, as many of the listeners know from Little Rock. KBF is 100,000 watts. Those of you who are listening in Greenville, that's 1,500 watts. Obviously, New Orleans is only 100 watts, so 1,000 looks huge, but for many of the U.S. stations, what they have done is carved up a lot of frequencies with very small things. So one of the things we talked a lot about yesterday was a visit to community radio stations I'd made in Nairobi that were only in slum areas and were 25 watts that only broadcast in a 2 to 3 kilometer area. And surprisingly, the three of us thought, well, you know, maybe there's some merit in that. I always thought those stations are too small to be worth anything. But we were talking, and Kenneth, who's lived here longer, started making a list of the various low-income areas, slum areas that have 30,000 or 40,000 or whatever, and they might be a good market for community radio stations.
No doubt.
And they have separate, you lived in some of those areas during your time here, didn't you?
Yeah, sure.
And what kind of things you reckon they would be most interested in hearing about, Kenneth?
One is service delivery.
Or lack of?
They would have to get better service delivery by government. Better roads, security. They would have to get medicine, health facilities.
How about schools? Are there schools?
Yes, the schools. Though, of course, the challenge in Kampala now is that those going in public schools, there isn't good stuff out there. The quality of the education is not so good. So those who can afford, actually, most of them will send their children to the private-owned schools where they can get better services. And for the ordinary person, they may not be able to afford that. So that is how life is.
And that's particularly probably an issue in the slums.
Yes, it is. It's a major issue, actually. So,
Water delivery? We were talking about that.
Yes, personally, where I do stay, there is no water now for close to 4 days.
And the water is a public resource.
It's
here.
A public resource, and it's expensive for tenants. Probably you go to part with 200 shillings or 500 to get a 20 liter jerry can. And when it starts, you even go to pay more. That is close to half a dollar to just get a 20 liter jerry can of water. So that is.
In Nairobi, what we noticed in Korogocho, the slum where Acorn organizes, is there were cartels trying to sell the water. That was public water.
Yes.
But because they'd done some of the piping to a certain area of the slum, they were charging 5-6 times what it would cost if you had public water. Mm-hmm. Is that same situation the case in Kampala? Are there private individuals selling public water? Or is it the city of Kampala that sells the jerry can for the 20 liters?
It usually happens where you find tenants live within those slums. If you don't have a building of your own, probably you go to share the resources with the people in the neighborhood.
Right.
So your landlord will have to charge you separately for the water, separately for the power, then for the rent, things like that. So at some point, depending on where you are, could even spend a lot more on some of those things that you may need.
On basic services?
Yes, on basic services.
So, Ricky, is this the kind of thing, if it was on the radio, that would cause problems, or would this be something that just was a natural part of everybody's discussion?
I think it is. That's the issue of interest to everybody, and it needs to be just put on. It needs to be put on radio, just to keep reminding. The issue of what, as my colleagues say, is the same thing even up country where I come from. Private homeowners, they connect water, sell out to the neighbors.
Expensively.
Is in the charge. If you may know, in Uganda, shillings, some may sell up to 200 per jerrycan, 20 liters, which is too much.
I understand.
It's too much. And it can be one of the issues the community can be proud of if it is put on radio.
So the government takes a part of all the revenues of a radio station? I think you were saying 5% or something like that?
Yes.
It's like an operating tax of some kind?
The Uganda Communication Commission introduced a 5% levy on gross income or gross revenue
generated.
Yeah. What a radio generates in a year, you pay 5% tax. But apart from that, also there's annual license fee. And that one depends on the what you have.
That's what
power.
The communications department uses to pay for their staff and their operations. So you're, in a sense, you're paying for your own regulation, which is not uncommon. Certainly in Nairobi, the way they described those community stations was the same here. But there hasn't been a history of community radio stations here. I think you were telling me there's 21 that I found that exist in Kenya and South Africa. You were telling me there are a lot of developments in community radio now.
Yeah, from what I know, Kenya and South Africa are far ahead of Uganda. Their sector, community radio sector, is more strong.
It's more stronger there.
It's a new concept, and here, mostly even like the Christian players, we mainly call them community oriented, because the primary reason for the establishment is non-profit.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
That's the pyramid.
Yeah.
But as soon as they get into the mix and do everything, because if the state owned is also selling advertisement, they pay power, we pay power. So why should we not sell?
Right.
It's funny. So it's a new approach, and most of the players here are not yet commercial.
Right before we went on the air, we were talking about a story of a nonprofit that was doing successful community development and decided to get a radio station, and then they ran into some problems too. Kenneth, why don't you tell the story of Peace Radio, because that may have set back community radio in Uganda. They have the same problems as kill or be killed, dog eat dog, commercial radio.
Man eat man.
Yeah, wow. Tell us the story of Peace Radio, if you don't mind.
It's not a very good story. But certainly it's one of the stations that I've known for quite some time. And started very well. But then somewhere along the way, things began to fall apart. I think this was due to issues to do with ownership and administration, who wants to own what, and things like that. So it didn't work out well for that radio.
As it turns out, private interests conflicted with some community interests.
Very well. So the radio kept struggling, and the audience or the listenership started becoming small, and the radio began to struggle.
Well, and that was a case where founders got in disagreements, and one of them privately owned the land and building.
Yes.
It was one of those, well, I'll take my marbles and go home, and then, in irony, they then built across the street.
Sure.
So now that, you know, there's a whole story about, you know, pissing outside of your own tent. We won't go through that on the radio, but there's many lessons about being careful about your own tent, and that's Peace Radio in that community. So I was asking what are popular shows, and we talked about Afro Pop, and we have a world radio show that I probably play some, but what's Afro Pop like?
Afro Pop is a genre of music that people within the African continent, or let's say within Uganda, it's a locally made music that people want to identify with, it somehow identifies with their music, history, culture.
And is that because of certain kinds of instruments or
yes.
a certain kind of beat?
Yes,
or
the
drumming.
Beats.
A lot of drums?
Yes. And of course, some other things. The dancing, and people want to associate with that because they feel they're connecting with each other. So music speaks to the heart.
And it's upbeat or downbeat?
It's
or
upbeat.
Upbeat.
Very upbeat.
See, I want people to know this because if we're successful in getting these stations on the air, they're going to be listening to Afropop here on these stations. So
sure.
this is me organizing the audience. Get ready, because
sure.
if we the three of us figure out a way to get a station on the air in a year or two, all of a sudden there could be a Afropop beat coming out on the air at the Voice of the People stations, because and some of what we're running could be here in Uganda. So we've also spent just a lot of time trying to figure out, yes, it's a straightforward process, but you have to be very careful in building radio stations to have the right mix of people, as we just talked about, and how to do the governance, how to set up nonprofits here. Is it fairly easy to organize a nonprofit in Uganda, Ricky?
It is easy, but also tricky.
Yes.
Because there are policies, others are new, and if the mission should be very clear. What you plan to do should be very clear, because there are issues of money laundering.
Sure.
Also,
very true.
Which the government is very strict about.
Every government has become strict about money laundering.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big issue in the U.S. as well, and a lot of big banks have had to pay billions of dollars in fines for money laundering, particularly if there are restrictions, you know, from different countries. But here that's an issue on, is it corruption or what? What is the money laundering concern?
Okay, the board, the NGO board, and the internal affairs, they feel that some NGOs are not here just to do charity work or community work.
They have international relationships?
Yeah, and so there's some maybe political...
Probably they think they're politically affiliated, or they come with hidden agendas.
Yeah.
And at some point, government is quite conscious about the operation of some of these NGOs. And,
it's never easy. For those of you who are interested in Affiliated Media Foundation Movement's efforts in Uganda to try to see if we can work with people like Ricky and Kenneth to get stations organized, you can always get in touch with us through that website, affiliatedmediamovement.org. You can send any contributions in care of any of our stations saying, help get Uganda on the air. If there are questions for Ricky or Kenny, is there a way that they can get to you? Because Kenny, I mean, Ricky, I know you've been in touch with people all over the world. That's how you found me. And said,
that's true.
Can you give us equipment? And then, oh, my God, here we are. I should, you know, I need to get a new practice, Kenny, of not answering all my emails. Is there a way they can get a hold of you, Ricky?
Yeah, I use email. I also have Skype, but the best way is to
to get me through email.
And what's your email address, if you don't mind giving it to people?
I don't mind. It is Ricky, that is R-I-C-K-Y, Moses, M-O-S-E-S, at gmail.com. It's Ricky Moses Ojok.
So we're gonna follow Ricky Moses through the wilderness, as they say, you know? And Kenneth, I don't know, you've been working on this as well. We'll just let people go through Kenny.
Sure.
Time has flown by talking to my friends here in Uganda. This has been Wade's World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard. And as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. As the song goes, we say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week when we have another guest, this is Wade Rathke from Wade's World.